The Friend Magazine for July 2014. Contents: Friends by Mail. Across the Country with the Friend. Dear Friends, The Blessings of Obeying by President Thomas S. Monson. The Parade Prize by Jenny Workman. Family Fun Time, Sharing. Bright Idea, Courage by President Thomas S. Monson. Homeschool Graduation by Julianne Tenney Doman. Fun Stuff, Sweet Success. My Lesson on Faith, Emma R. Once You Get to Utah, Part 3, Earning a Ride, Geraldine T. Fielding. I'm Pedro from Brazil, by Amy Jane Levitt. Bulletin Board, Friend Figure, Anna from Brazil. Music, Love Enough, by Penelope M. Allen and Michael F. Moody. The Dog Project, by Tricia Fine. What Can We Do to Be Worthy of the Spirit? By President Boyd K. Packer. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture, by Val Chadwick Bagley. My Body is a Temple, by Marissa Whittison. Safety and the Spirit, by Nettie Hunsaker Francis. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Dentist, by Linda Davies. Fun Stuff, Tithing Time, by Ari Vandegraff. Following Jesus, Be Brave. Prepare to Serve, by Elder Eduardo Gavaret. Sarah Walked and Walked, by Heidi Pullman. Coloring Page, Luke the Leader, by Anna Nelson Shaw. Show and Tell, Temple Cards, The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. We Become Members of the Church Through Baptism and Confirmation, by Jennifer Maddy. I Can Keep My Baptismal Covenant. Celebrating Church History, British Style. Just One Click, by Jessica Larson. P.S. Old Testament Scripture Figures, Ruth and Naomi. And Dear Parents and Teachers, End of Contents. Friends by Mail. Across the Country with the Friend. This summer, our family went on a 2-month cross-country road trip from North Carolina to California. We stopped at many places on the way. We read The Friend all along the way and liked taking pictures with it. Before the trip, Spencer asked the missionaries for 10 copies of the Book of Mormon and some pass-along cards to hand out. We gave them to people like hotel employees and toll booth attendants. Once, Kylie got to take a Book of Mormon to the clerk at a gas station. He said he already had a Bible, so Kylie explained why the Book of Mormon is special. He said he would try to read it. Kylie says, I love traveling with my family, visiting relatives, seeing God's beautiful creations, and being a missionary too. Kylie, Madeline, Spencer, Alexis, Thomas, Caitlin, and McKenna H., ages 11, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, and 4 months, North Carolina, USA. Dear Friends, have you read about Henry, the brave pioneer boy who had to cross the ocean by himself? On page 12, you can find out if Henry overcame his challenges and finally made it to Utah. What's your biggest challenge? Maybe it's being sick, losing a pet, or having problems with friends. No matter what your challenges are, Heavenly Father cares and will help you with them. We believe in you, the Friend. P.S. Write to tell us how Heavenly Father helped you with a challenge. Note: Was there a letter or a story in this month's issue that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 48 to find out how. End of Friends by Mail.
From the First Presidency, The Blessings of Obeying by President Thomas S. Monson. There is no need for you or for me to sail uncharted seas or to travel unmarked roads in search of truth. A loving Heavenly Father has provided an unfailing guide, even obedience. We learn obedience throughout our lives. Beginning when we are very young, those responsible for our care give us guidelines and rules to ensure our safety. No greater example of obedience exists than that of our Savior. He was always obedient. When faced with the agony of Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Luke chapter 22, verse 42. As the Savior instructed his early apostles, so he instructs you and me. Follow thou me. John chapter 21, verse 22. Are we willing to obey? The knowledge which we seek, the answers for which we yearn, and the strength which we desire today to meet our challenges can be ours when we willingly obey the Lord's commandments. Note: adapted from Obedience Brings Blessings, Ensign, May 2013, pages 89 to 92.
Pioneer Children Obeyed. Think about it. Why was it so important for Pioneer Children to be obedient? How did it help them stay safe? How did it help them know what to do? What commandments has Heavenly Father given you to obey? How do they help you stay safe? How do they help you know what to do? What difference does it make if we obey willingly or unwillingly?
End of the First Presidency Message.
The Parade Prize by Jenny Workman, based on a true story. Matthew's favorite part of the parade wasn't what he saw, but what he did. Jesus said, "Love everyone, treat them kindly too." Children's Songbook, page 61. Matthew got in the van with his family and put on his seatbelt. Today they were going to the parade. Matthew loved parades. He was excited to see the bands marching along with their big drums and their shiny hats. Every year he tried to guess which float would win as they all rolled by, and he laughed at the clowns on their tiny bikes. He couldn't wait to see the horses and hear the fire trucks blow their horns. Dad parked the car, and they walked to where Grandpa and Grandma were waiting. "Hey, buddy," Grandpa said as he ruffled Matthew's hair. "Ready to get some candy?" Matthew nodded. He checked his pocket to make sure he had his plastic bag. He loved waiting on the curb and getting the candy and other things people handed out. Last year, he got a whole bag full of candy and toys. He knew that Grandpa liked the candy as much as he did. He always looked through his bag afterwards to find something Grandpa liked. "I hope I get lots of candy," Matthew's sister Abby yelled as she jumped up and down. "Look, it's starting!" Matthew quickly picked a spot on the curb. He felt his heart thud as a band began to play. Suddenly, the air was filled with bubbles as a float covered with tropical fish passed by. The people walking behind it were handing out lollipops. Matthew and Abby both got one. The next group handed out tickets to the bowling alley. Then the clowns came. Some were on stilts, one rode a unicycle, and some rode the tiny bikes Matthew liked. The next group was dancing and handing out bright green water bottles. A water bottle like that would be perfect for soccer. Matthew and Abby both grabbed one. Then Matthew saw a little boy nearby crying because he hadn't gotten one. Matthew looked at his bag filled with candy and toys. He looked again at the boy and then took out his water bottle and walked over to him. "Here you go," Matthew said, holding it out to the boy. The boy grabbed it, smiled, and wiped his eyes. The boy's mom smiled and said, "Thank you." As Matthew went back to sit on the curb, he saw Grandpa wink at him. He felt good that he had shared the water bottle with the little boy, even though he could have used it for soccer. Matthew thought that sharing with the boy was what Jesus would have wanted him to do. After the parade, Grandpa asked Matthew what he liked most. Matthew thought about all the fun things in the parade. Then he thought about the boy in the water bottle. He knew he had done something even better than watching a parade and getting candy. End of the story, The Parade Prize by Jenny Workman. Read by Kate Strongen.
Bright Idea Poster. In this month's Bright Idea Poster, a boy walks out of the room where his friends are watching a bad movie. Worried, he calls his parents on the phone. We see the following caption, which says, "Courage includes doing right, even though we may be afraid." President Thomas S. Monson. End of Bright Idea Poster.
Homeschool Graduation by Julianne Tenney Doman. Based on a true story. How could Jill thank Mom for being such an awesome teacher? "You're my mother, kind and true. Dearest mother, I Love You, Children's Songbook, page 206. 12-year-old Tim, 10-year-old Jake, and 8-year-old Jill closed their books for the day. "Awesome history lesson, Mom," Jake said. "Totally," Jill said. "Mom made history so fun. It was Jill's favorite subject." "Thanks, kids," Mom said as she gathered up her teaching supplies. "You're all doing great. Your teachers next year are going to be so impressed with you. I just know it." Jill's stomach did a little somersault. With a new baby coming, Mom had decided she would be too busy to teach homeschool next year. "I'll miss having you as my teacher," Jill said. Mom put a hand on Jill's shoulder. "I'll miss being your teacher too, sweetheart, but I'm still your mom." She grinned. "And a mom is always a teacher." As Jill got ready for bed that night, she thought about what Mom had said. A mom is always a teacher. Jill had never really thought much about it before. Mom had worked so hard. Right then and there, Jill decided somehow to give Mom a gigantic thank you for being her teacher. It would have to be something special. But how should she do it? She prayed for help. Several days later, Jill still hadn't thought of the perfect way to show thanks for Mom. She thanked her out loud all the time, but she wanted to do something more. "You kids have done so well," Mom said. "You're definitely ready to graduate from homeschool." Jill's hand froze in place, her pencil hovering above her paper. A fabulous idea popped into her head. Graduate! They could throw Mom a surprise graduation party. Mom would love it. It was the perfect way to say thank you. Jill told Tim and Jake her plan. They soon began working to throw a great surprise party. Jill had a hard time focusing on math the next day. She kept picturing Mom's face when they surprised her. Finally, it was time to put their books away. When Mom turned around to wipe the chalkboard, Jill gave a thumbs up to Tim and Jake to show that it was time. As quietly as possible, they pulled out the secret party supplies they had hidden under their desks. "Surprise!" they all yelled as Mom turned around. Jill ran over and gave Mom a rolled-up paper that she tied carefully with a ribbon. She'd worked hard on that homemade diploma. "What's all this?" Mom asked with a laugh. Tim put a graduation hat made of black construction paper on her head. "It's a graduation party," said Jake, "from all of us." Jill gave Mom a big hug. "We wanted to thank you for being such a great teacher." "Happy graduation," Jill and her brothers all shouted. Tim pulled out a party noisemaker and blew it loudly. "Come into the kitchen," he said. "It's time to get this party started." Mom laughed again and adjusted the graduation hat on her head. Then she followed Tim and Jake into the kitchen for the treats they planned. Jill felt good inside. They had made Mom happy. Next school year was going to be great, Jill decided, and if she ever had homework questions, she knew just who to ask for help. With a huge smile, Jill ran into the kitchen to join the party.
Sidebar: Love should be the very heart of family life. President Thomas S. Monson, Love, the Essence of the Gospel, Ensign, May 2014, page 92.
End of the story. Homeschool Graduation by Julianne Tenney Doman.
My Lesson on Faith, a true story written by you. Emma R., age 11, Texas, USA. A few years ago, I taught a family home evening lesson on faith. My family had been spending lots of time talking about faith because my older brother had questions about why we need faith. I planted a seed I saved from a cantaloupe in a little cup. I told my family that faith was like a seed. If you took good care of it, the seed would grow. We had never had much success growing gardens, but I hoped I could make this plant grow and that I could be a good example of faith. I put the cup in the window and took care of it. I waited and prayed for my seed to grow. I had almost given up, but after a week I finally saw some green sprouting up. It grew in the window for another week. Then my parents helped me find a place to plant it in the backyard flower bed. I took good care of my plant. I watered it and kept the weeds away. It kept growing bigger and bigger. I was so excited. After weeks went by, I noticed flowers, and then small fruit began to sprout. We watched 7 cantaloupes grow on the vine from my one little seed. To me, it was a miracle and an answer to my prayers. The fruit was sweet, just like it says in Alma chapter 32, verse 42. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet. This experience made me very happy and taught me and my family that faith is a true principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sidebar, your turn. We would like to plant a seed with you. Have you thought about sharing your experiences with a friend? We welcome true stories about how you live the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, you could write about a time when you had a prayer answered or when you invited a friend to church. Your parents can help you send it in online at friend.lds.org, by email to friend@ldschurch.org, or by mail to the address on page 48. Please include your photo and your parents' permission. End of the story, My Lesson on Faith, read by Eden Reinwand.
Once You Get to Utah, Part 3, Earning a Ride, by Geraldine Fielding, based on a true story. Henry's family sent him from England to start a new life in Utah, but his journey took an unexpected detour when he didn't have enough money for a train ticket from Chicago to Salt Lake City. Then he heard about a man named Amos who was heading for the Utah Territory. Henry walked up to the man named Amos. He had a snarly red beard, and he wasn't smiling. "Excuse me," Henry said in a small voice. He felt nervous, but remembered that the freight master had said Amos was a good man.
"What do you want?" Amos growled.
I heard you could take me to Utah," Henry stammered.
"I don't take passengers," Amos said. "I run a business."
"I'll work my way," Henry said. Amos laughed. "What work could a boy like you do?"
"I can do lots of things," Henry said.
Amos scratched his beard. "Do you know anything about horses?" he asked.
"Yes, sir," Henry answered.
"My papa worked on a big estate in England, and I helped him with the horses all the time."
"Is that so?" Amos smiled.
He jerked his thumb at 2 horses tied to the back of the wagon. "Let's see you hitch up old Buck and Rufus." Henry walked over to the horses, patted their noses, and talked softly to them. Without any difficulty, he led them to the wagon and fastened the harnesses.
"Well, I'll be hornswaggled. Old Buck's usually cranky with strangers."
"You might be handy to have along after all," Amos said.
"Climb in the wagon and let's go."
Amos was fun to travel with. He told interesting stories and listened to Henry talk about life in England. But the trip was hard work, too. Henry took care of the horses, gathered firewood, and carried water. He helped Amos hunt for dinner. When they couldn't catch anything, they ate beef jerky and dried apples. At night, they slept under the wagon. After many weeks, Henry spotted the tops of the mountains against the bright blue sky.
"The Utah Territory is just on the other side," Amos said.
When Henry got his first look at the land that would be his new home, he was surprised. It was nothing like the big cities or bright green fields he had left behind in England.
"Are you sure this is Utah?" Henry asked.
"Maybe we took a wrong turn." Amos just chuckled. Henry said goodbye to Amos in a town called Castlegate and bought one last train ticket. Before he knew it, the train was hissing to a stop at the Salt Lake City Depot. Henry jumped onto the wooden platform with a smile. He had made it. Or had he? Henry quickly realized that he still didn't know how to find his cousins. He started asking people if they knew the Lowe family. His stomach growled and he shivered as the sun faded away. Finally, he saw a man riding directly toward him.
"Henry? My name is George Lowe," the man said, sticking out his hand. My family will be so happy to meet you. Climb in the wagon. You must be exhausted. That night, Henry had a warm bed and good food. He was soon able to go to church. Utah started to feel like home. It was a whole year before Henry's father came to Utah. Then his mother and two brothers followed. Finally, his older sister arrived. Each of them had a different journey, and Henry was grateful that Heavenly Father had protected them all. They were together again at last. When Henry William Groom was 15, he moved on his own to Idaho, USA. After a few years, the rest of his family joined him there. Later, he married Ida Violet Strong, and they had 7 children. He loved to sing and was a hard worker and a successful farmer. He died in 1960. End of the story, Once You Get to Utah. Part 3, Earning a Ride, by Geraldine Fielding, based on a true story. Read by Van Farnworth.
Friends around the world.
I'm Pedro from Brazil.
Olá, amigos.
From an interview by Amy Jane Levitt. Pedro lives in the largest country in South America, Brazil. He lives in Curitiba, the capital of the Brazilian state of Paraná. Pedro likes to spend time with his mom and dad and his older brother and younger sister. They love to visit the temple and go to the beach together. Pedro looks forward to being a missionary someday.
Each morning I read the scriptures and pray with my family before I go to school. My favorite subjects are art and the history of the Brazilian Indians. Not many of my friends at school are members of the church. I talk to them about what I believe and invite them to come to church with me. My favorite scripture story is when Nephi returns to Jerusalem to get the plates of brass. I like to set and complete goals. I plan to earn my Faith in God award before I turn 12. I like to draw. I spend many hours every week on my artwork. I also like to visit the library and look at the art books. I love to play football, soccer. Another sport I like is Hapkido, a kind of martial art from Korea. When I grow up, I would like to be a missionary. I want to serve in Manaus because it's where the Amazon forest is. Then I want to work as an art designer. I love to see the temple. My family likes to visit the temple in Curitiba and walk through the gardens together. I was only 4 when the temple was built, but I remember going on the tour at the open house. It is a special memory for me.
End of the section, Friends Around the World.
Bulletin board. I am a child of God in Portuguese. Sou filho de Deus. Fun facts about Brazil. Have you met Pedro yet? On pages 14 and 15, you can read about his life in Brazil. Here are some fun facts about this South American country. Its official language is Portuguese. People in Brazil came from many other places, like Japan, Africa, and Europe, but they are all Brazilians. It has the largest river in the world, the Amazon River. Almost 1/3 of it is made up of rainforests. And it has 6 temples, and 2 more are being built. Ham and cheese omelet. Pedro likes to help his mom make meals for the family. Here's a recipe for an omelet they often make together. Remember to ask an adult for help. Makes about 5 servings. You'll need 4 eggs, 3 slices of mozzarella cheese chopped, 3 slices of ham chopped, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 teaspoon oregano, 1 tablespoon butter. Step 1. Break the eggs into a bowl and beat them with a fork. Mix in the cheese, ham, salt, and oregano. Step 2. Melt the butter in a large frying pan. Keep the pan on medium heat. Step 3. Slowly pour in the egg mixture. Step 4. Let it cook to get golden brown on one side. Then carefully fold in the sides and flip it over with a spatula. Let it cook to get golden brown on the other side.
Queimada. The name of this game means burned in Portuguese, and it's like a Brazilian version of dodgeball. This game works best with at least 8 people. Divide a large open space in half, split into 2 teams. At the back of each side, there is a cemetery. Each team chooses one player to stand in the other team's cemetery. Toss a coin to decide which team starts. The person in the cemetery starts the game by throwing the ball to the opposite side. A teammate must catch the ball and then throw it and try to hit someone on the other team. When people are hit with the ball, they go to the cemetery. If a person catches the ball, the thrower goes to the cemetery. If the ball goes out of bounds, the ball goes to the other team. The game is over when everyone on one team is in the cemetery.
Family history. I am doing it. A family reunion is when family members get together to share memories, have fun, and get to know each other better. With your parents' help, plan a reunion for your family. If family members live close by, you could invite them to have a picnic lunch or to come over for dinner. If they live far away, you could call them or use the computer to talk to them. You could even plan a project for your family to work on, like acting out favorite family stories, doing survey project, or working on family history together. Don't forget to take lots of pictures and write in your journal about this special day.
What if you could give a gift to anyone in the world? What would you give and why? End of bulletin board.
Music. Love Enough. Text by Penelope Moody Allen. Music by Michael F. Moody. Verse 1. Wise enough to seek the light, strong enough to stand for right, meek enough to be advised, brave enough to be baptized, born again as child of God, cleansed in Christ's atoning blood. Christ has love enough for me, love enough eternally. Verse 2. Changed enough to choose the Lord, staunch enough to keep my word, full of faith from what I've learned, clean enough to be confirmed, and receive the Holy Ghost, gift of God I need the most. Christ has love enough for me, love enough eternally. Verse 3. Blessed enough to bear Christ's name, loved enough to feel the shame when I slip and break my word. I'll repent by sorrow stirred. Then renew my covenant as I take the sacrament. Christ has love enough for me, love enough eternally. End of music, Love Enough. Text by Penelope Moody Allen, music by Michael F. Moody, read by Wes Nelson.
The Dog Project, by Tricia Fine, based on a true story. Melody couldn't wait to teach Buddy every trick in the book. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Melody scratched her puppy behind the ears. He wagged his tail. "Just wait, Buddy," Melody said. "Soon you're going to know how to do tricks." "Time to go," Mom said. Melody gave Buddy a quick hug goodbye and ran to their family's van. With her favorite outfit on, Melody was ready for her second 4-H meeting. She couldn't wait to learn all about growing a garden, painting ceramics, and sewing. But most of all, she was excited about the dog training project. For as long as she could remember, Melody had loved animals. She imagined for the 100th time how great it would be to take Buddy on the dog course and teach him all sorts of tricks. They arrived at the fire station where the meeting would be held. Melody listened closely to the announcements. "Sewing will be this Saturday at my house," the group leader explained. "Ceramics will be next Monday after school, and the dog project is this Sunday at 2:00 at my house." Melody's heart sank. Sunday? Sundays were special days for church and family. It wasn't a day for shopping or going to the movies. But what about dog training? All the way home, she stared silently out the window. At home, she went straight to the backyard and began brushing Buddy's fur. She didn't want to talk with anybody. Later that night, Melody sat on the couch with tears filling her eyes. Why did the dog project have to be on Sunday? It wasn't fair. Mom sat down next to Melody on the couch and held her hand. "What do you want to do about the dog project?" Mom asked. Her parents had talked it over and decided to let Melody make her own choice. Melody didn't answer at first. She'd thought about the problem all day long. She kept trying to tell herself it would be okay to do the dog project. After all, it was scheduled after church. But every time she thought this, she felt kind of squirmy inside. "I don't know," Melody said. "I know I want to train Buddy, but I also want to do what's right. Keep praying, Mom said. You'll know what to decide. Mom gave her a kiss on the forehead and left the room. Melody went to the backyard to brush Buddy's fur some more. She said a silent prayer for help. She looked into Buddy's eyes. He would be so good at learning tricks. She just knew it. But she also knew that she didn't feel happy inside about attending the project on Sunday. She knew how peaceful the Holy Ghost felt, and that wasn't how she felt when she thought of doing the project. Melody realized that was her answer. If she didn't feel good about it, she wouldn't do the dog project. A warm feeling grew in Melody's heart as she made her decision. Then she had an idea. She could probably find a book about dog training at the library. Probably a couple of books. Maybe they could even learn together as a family. Guess what, Buddy? You're going to learn tricks after all. Melody tossed a stick for him to fetch. He just looked at her with a goofy grin. He didn't run after the stick even a little bit. She grinned. Don't worry, Buddy. We'll learn together.
Sidebar. Honor the Sabbath all day long and experience its spiritual blessings throughout the week. Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, The Sabbath and the Sacrament, Ensign, May 2011, page 9.
End of the story, The Dog Project, by Tricia Fine, read by Kara McClellan.
Special Witness, What Can We Do to Be Worthy of the Spirit? By President Boyd K. Packer, President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. The members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles are special witnesses of Jesus Christ. Listen to uplifting music, talk reverently, repent when you make a mistake, dress modestly. If you do these things, you will be watched over and the Holy Ghost will guide you. From Council to Youth, Ensign, November 2011, pages 16 through 19. End of the article, What Can We Do to Be Worthy of the Spirit? Read by Maya Reinwand.
My Body is a Temple by Marissa Whittison, Church Magazines. What's great about having a body?
Our bodies are so important and holy that the Lord calls them temples. See 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And having a body is fun too. Bodies can run, sing, climb, laugh, draw, swim, dance, and do other fun activities. Also, we can use our bodies to learn, help people, create families, and make the world a better place.
Why do we have bodies?
Before we were born, we were spirits without physical bodies. There were a lot of things we couldn't do until we had a body. God sent us to Earth to get bodies. We need both a spirit and a body to become like Heavenly Father. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 15.
What if there are things I don't like about my body?
Sometimes our bodies don't look, move, or work the way we want them to. But no matter what our bodies are like, we can choose to be grateful for them and use them to do good things here on Earth. Someday, each one of us will be resurrected and have a body that is perfect. See Alma chapter 40, verse 23. God loves us no matter what our bodies are like, and we can love ourselves too.
Why doesn't everyone look alike?
Bodies come in many shapes, colors, and sizes, and this is part of Heavenly Father's plan. Even though each body is different, all of us are created in the image of God. See Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. That means that our bodies are patterned after His perfect body. Every single body is beautiful because each one is a gift from our loving Heavenly Father.
How should I treat my body?
We should treat our bodies the way we would care for any priceless treasure, with love and respect. Through the prophets and the word of wisdom, Heavenly Father has told us what is bad for our bodies and what is good. There are lots of things we can do to care for our bodies. Eat healthy foods and exercise. Dress modestly and keep our bodies clean. Respect other people's bodies. Don't mark our bodies with tattoos or piercings. Don't use drugs, alcohol, tobacco, coffee, or tea. Play games that are safe and fun, and stay away from activities that are dangerous. When we take care of our bodies, we are better able to feel the Holy Ghost.
And we care for our bodies the way God has commanded.
we will be blessed. See Mosiah chapter 2, verse 41, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 89, verses 18 through 21.
End of the article, My Body is a Temple, by Marissa Wittison.
Safety and the Spirit, by Nettie Hunsaker Francis, based on a true story. Direct me, protect me, and give my soul his light. Children's Songbook, page 106. Mom, can I ride my bike over to Jason's house? Zach called as he ran into his bedroom. Sure, Mom said. Just be careful. Okay. Zach skidded to a stop next to his bed and grabbed his tennis shoes. When he glanced up, he saw the picture of Jesus he kept next to his baseball trophy. His grandparents had given him the picture at his baptism last month. Zach could hardly believe he was finally baptized. He thought back to that important day. He remembered sitting in the chapel next to his dad. Both of them were dressed in white. His primary teacher, Sister Jones, gave a talk about the Holy Ghost. She told Zach if he listened to the still small voice, he would be blessed. Sister Jones held up a whistle. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will warn you of danger, almost like a whistle in your mind. Then she held up a helmet. Following the Holy Ghost is like wearing a helmet in a dangerous world. His still small voice will prompt you so you will be protected spiritually and physically. Zach had thought about the talk a lot since then. He was grateful to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. As he finished tying his shoes, he stood up and noticed his bike helmet in his closet. Wear your helmet, a small voice inside him seemed to say. Zach stood still. Is that the Holy Ghost? He wondered. Okay, he thought, I'll wear my helmet. He put it on and ran out of the room. Bye, Mom, he called as he ran outside. The afternoon hurried by as Zach and Jason played pirates in Jason's treehouse. Finally, Zach noticed it was getting late. I'd better go, he told Jason. He picked up his bike and snapped his helmet into place again. See you later. Zach pedaled carefully along the side of the street. When he came to the corner, he looked both ways, then started across the road. Just as he reached the other side, a huge blue truck raced around the corner. Suddenly, it hit the back tire of Zach's bike, knocking him to the ground. Zach caught his breath, then carefully sat up. The road was empty, except for his twisted bike lying nearby. Zach stood up. He was shaking, but he didn't seem to be hurt. Then he remembered. His helmet! He reached up and felt it still fastened firmly on his head. It had protected him. Zach picked up his bike and walked the rest of the way home. When he reached the front door, he ran inside. Mom! Mom! He said, hugging her tightly, his voice shaking a little. A truck hit my bike! What? Are you all right? She asked. Zach nodded. I was wearing my helmet. I felt a still small voice tell me to put it on before I left. Mom sighed with relief. Sister Jones was right, Zach continued. The Holy Ghost is real. I followed his prompting and he protected me, just like my helmet. End of the story, Safety and the Spirit, by Nettie Hunsaker Francis. Read by Kate Strongen.
When I grow up, I want to be a dentist. From an interview by Linda Davies.
My name is Kelly Lineback, and I'm a dentist.
What does a dentist do?
Dentists check your teeth and gums. I treat lots of cavities or tooth decay. Putting a filling inside a cavity stops the decay from getting bigger and makes the tooth feel better.
How do you help people?
Some patients come to my office with very bad toothaches. I help that pain go away. Sometimes people just want their teeth to look better, so I straighten their teeth or remove spots on their teeth and make their smiles sparkle. When you meet someone new, a smile is one of the first things you see. That's one of the main reasons why I became a dentist. I love helping people feel good about their smiles.
How did you become a dentist?
To become a dentist, you go to college first and then to dental school.
How can your talents bless others?
Heavenly Father loves each of us, no matter where we live. Being a dentist helps me serve Heavenly Father and many people in my own community, as well as in faraway countries. Because many people cannot pay to see a dentist, my family and I have set up clinics to help them. I am grateful for the love and patience the Lord freely gives me. I am glad He has allowed me to help others through my dental skills.
End of the interview. When I grow up, I want to be a dentist. Read by Shannon Nelson and Charlene Stewart.
Following Jesus, be brave. What Jesus taught. Jesus taught that we sometimes have to be brave to follow Him. He said that people might say bad things about us or not want to be around us when we follow Him. But He said we should even be happy when that happens, because we will be blessed for following Him. You can read what Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. This month's challenge is: stand up for someone who is being bullied or left out. Turn off video games that have violence or immodesty. If someone asks you to cheat or tell a lie, don't do it. I challenge myself to blank. Following Jesus today.
A lot of people in my class were taking the Lord's name in vain. During a class meeting, I asked everyone to stop doing that. It took a lot of courage for me to do that. Some people still take the Lord's name in vain. But I know the Lord is happy with me. Marin W., H.A., Arizona, USA.
One day, I was playing with my friend, and he wanted to watch a movie that I didn't think we should watch. I called my parents to ask, but no one was home. We did not watch the movie. I feel good when I choose the right. Tyler K., age 7, Utah, USA.
End of the section, Following Jesus, Be Brave.
Friend to Friend, Prepared to Serve. From an interview with Elder Eduardo Gavaret of the 70, by Mindy Ray Friedman. Learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Alma chapter 37, verse 35. I grew up in the city of Minas, Uruguay. When I was 6 years old, my mother and older sisters were baptized into the church. My father never joined the church, but he was always happy that we went to church. He even kept the word of wisdom and paid tithing. Our branch was very small, and we did not have a church building. We met in a rented house. The house had a small swimming pool outside that we used for baptisms. As my 8th birthday got closer, I was excited about being baptized. But on the day of the baptism, it was raining and very cold. My mom said that maybe I shouldn't be baptized that day because of the cold weather. But it was my birthday, and I wanted to be baptized on that day. I remember putting on my white clothes and getting into the pool to be baptized. I knew that the water would be cold, but I did not feel cold. I knew that I was doing the right thing, and I had a warm feeling. A short time later, a chapel was built for our branch. At that time, church members could help build the meeting houses. My job was to pick up nails and screws that had fallen on the ground so they could be used again. It was a simple job, but it was very important to me. It taught me how to serve, and it helped prepare me for future church service. Remember that even though you are young, the things you do now matter. End of the article, Prepared to Serve, from an interview with Elder Eduardo Gavaret of the 70, by Mindy Ray Friedman, read by Van Farnworth.
For Little Friends, Sarah Walked and Walked, by Heidi Pullman, based on a true story. Sarah hopped and skipped. She was ready to hike around Silver Lake with her family. Her brother Josh ran ahead.
Soon the sun began to feel hot on Sarah's arms. Her legs began to feel tired. "Don't worry," Mom said. "We're almost back to our car." Then Sarah saw a big orange rope blocking the path. "The bridge is broken," Dad said. "We'll have to walk back around the lake." "But I'm so tired," Sarah said. Josh sat down in the dirt and frowned. "Do you remember the story of the pioneers?" Mom asked. Sarah nodded. She liked the pioneers. "They had to walk a very long way," Mom said. "Sometimes it was really hot, and sometimes it was really cold, but they kept walking. When they got to their new home, they built houses and temples." Sarah was glad the pioneers kept walking. She would keep walking, too. She held her hand out to Josh. "Come on," she said. "We have some more walking to do." End of the story. Sarah Walked and Walked by Heidi Pullman, based on a true story, read by Charlene Stewart.
Luke, the Leader by Anna Nelson Shaw, based on a true story. Luke's friends wanted him to say a bad word, but he knew what to do instead. Choose the right way and be happy. Children's Songbook, page 160. Luke loved playing foursquare with his new friends from kindergarten. Britton bounced the red ball to him. "Hey guys, listen to this," Britton said. Then he said a word Luke had never heard. It sounded ugly. Luke didn't feel good when he heard it. "Say it, Luke," Britton said. "It will be funny." Luke stood there holding the ball. He didn't know what to do. "Come on," said Sean. "My brother and his friends say that word. They all think it's funny. Say it." Luke looked at Tiffany. What could he do? Luke knew it would be wrong to say the word. Then he had an idea. He could use words to make people feel good instead of bad. He grinned. He thought of the silliest word he could.
"Zoogaboogazoo," Luke said.
It worked. His friends laughed so hard they sat right down on the ground. "That other word doesn't sound funny," Luke said. "Let's make up silly words instead."
"Flazzle razzle," Tiffany said.
Luke laughed. They all made up funny words until recess ended. After school, Luke walked home with Mom and told her about recess. "How did you know it was a bad word?" Mom asked. "I didn't feel happy when I heard it." "I'm so proud of you," Mom said. "You listened to the Holy Ghost tell you not to say that word. Then you used your talent of making people laugh to help you choose the right." Luke hadn't thought about that. He smiled. "Hey, I have a good word for you," Mom said. "It starts with L. Luke." "That's good, but I'm thinking of someone who shows other people the way. Like the game, Follow the Leader." "Right. You were a leader with your good example. You were a leader with laughter." Luke hugged Mom. Then they raced back home. They laughed the whole way. End of the story. Luke, the Leader by Anna Nelson Shaw. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Show and Tell. In our primary presentation one year, I played the piano for I Lived in Heaven. The next year, I led the sign language for I Love to See the Temple. The next year, my goal was to learn if I listen with my heart. I know the Lord gave me talents, and I should develop them and use them to bless others. Then my talents will grow. I know that I am a daughter of God and that Jesus Christ gave his life for me. Luna Marisol I, age 8, Argentina.
Every month, we make the 3-hour drive to the temple with our parents. Before we go, we like to change the words to our favorite primary song and sing, "I love to see the temple. We're going on Saturday. We know Jesus is happy when we go to the temple. We are trying to follow his example." Caleb, Malia, and Parker V, ages 6, 4, and 2, Wisconsin, USA.
One night I had a bad dream. I didn't know what to do. I got in bed with my mom, but I was still nervous. Then I decided to pray and sing my favorite primary song, a child's prayer. After that, I felt the Holy Ghost. I was able to go back to bed and fall asleep. I know that Heavenly Father sent the Holy Ghost to comfort me. Olivia D., age 8, Georgia, USA.
Siomara S., age 8, Iowa, USA, and Hunter C., age 8, California, USA, are cousins who were baptized on the same day. Their grandmother was baptized too. It was a very special day for two families who had waited a very long time to see their grandma get baptized.
The primary children in the Menlo Park Ward, Arizona, USA, made a temple out of blocks to learn about choosing the rite. The children talked about choices and consequences. For each good choice, they added a block to their temple. Their good choices helped them complete their temple by the end of the year. They also visited the Mesa, Arizona temple.
I have two pioneers in my family. My grandma was the first from her family to join the church in France 40 years ago. It was not easy because her family and friends didn't want her to. My great-grandma from the other side of my family was also the first of her family to join. I am proud these two faithful women had the courage to follow the Spirit. I want to be as brave as them and follow the Spirit every day. Jack T., age 7, Washington, USA. Sam D., age 6, New Mexico, USA, is the oldest in his family, and he is a great example to his younger brother and sister. He loves reading The Friend with his family. He was inspired by Sister Chef on page 36 of the March 2013 issue and decided to make a cooking notebook and apron so he can learn to cook and prepare for his future mission. He is excited to be a missionary someday.
Other contributors to this month's show and tell are Hallie C., age 10, Washington, USA, Hayden H., age 8, Idaho, USA, Devin B., age 10, Idaho, USA, William M., age 10, Brazil, Caitlin H., age 10, Colorado, USA, and Brendan W., age 10, California, USA. End of the section, Show and Tell.
The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy. In this month's episode of Matt and Mandy, Mandy and her friend Audrey are walking home from school. Audrey says to Mandy,
"Thanks for helping me study for that science test. I passed, thanks to you."
Mandy replies,
"No problem. How come you've been so nice to me after some of us were so mean when you first got here?"
"Well, after you felt that first science test, you looked like you needed some help. And we had a lesson in our family home evening about being kind to others."
"What's family home evening?"
"Family home evening is where we get together and have lessons and games and treats."
"My family doesn't do anything like that."
"Hey, does your family want to come to our home evening next Monday night?"
"Sounds fun. I'll ask my mom."
Upon arriving home, Mandy calls up the stairs.
"Mom, can I be in charge of family home evening on Monday? I invited Audrey. I hope that's okay. I'll make brownies and..."
To be continued. End of this month's installment of The New Adventures of Matt and Mandy.
Bringing Primary Home. Learn more about this month's primary theme. We Become Members of the Church Through Baptism and Confirmation by Jennifer Maddy. Mariella came home from school with a frown on her face. "What's wrong?" Mom asked as she planted flowers in the garden. "Sonia promised she would play with me, and then she didn't," Mariella said. She plopped down in the dirt next to Mom. "I'm so sorry," Mom said. "It's important to keep promises. Next week, when you are baptized and confirmed, you will make some very important promises called covenants." "Really?" Mariella asked. She was excited to be baptized. Mom put some yellow flowers in the ground. "You promise to obey the commandments. You also promise to take the name of Jesus Christ upon you. What does Heavenly Father promise if you do these things?" Mariella thought about what she was learning in primary. "That I'll have the Holy Ghost with me.
That's right, Mom said. You'll also become a member of Jesus' church. How can you keep your promise to obey the commandments? I can be kind, and I can tell the truth, Mariella said. What does it mean to take Jesus' name upon me? It means that you try to be like him and do what he would want you to do, Mom said. What can you do to be like Jesus? Mariella twirled a purple flower between her fingers. I can sit with the new girl at school, and I can try to be nice to Sonia, she said. Those are great ideas, Mom said. And when you take the sacrament, you can remember your promises. Mariella smiled. I know another promise, to water the flowers so we can have a beautiful garden.
Sidebar, Song and Scripture. Baptism, Children's Songbook, page 100, verses 1 and 3. John, chapter 3, verse 5. Ideas for Family Talk. Mariella thought of ways she could keep her baptismal covenant by following Jesus Christ. Your family could think of ways to be more like Jesus at home, at school, and in other places. Make a family goal to think about the baptismal covenant when you take the sacrament. End of the article. We Become Members of the Church Through Baptism and Confirmation by Jennifer Maddy.
Celebrating Church History, British Style. In the 1800s, the church was growing in places like Kirtland and Nauvoo, but it was growing across the ocean, too. The prophet Joseph Smith had sent some of the apostles to England as missionaries, and thousands of people were hearing their message and joining the church. Last July, some British children performed in a new pageant to celebrate the history of the church in their very own country. This month, the pageant is being put on in Nauvoo. Download the music from the British pageant at friend.lds.org.
It felt really special to have the pageant on the grounds of the temple because we could see it all the time. It was like being on a mission, feeling the Spirit in everything we did. I experienced many miracles, and my testimony has grown. Caitlin M., age 11, England, who played Emily Partington.
Back then, church members were encouraged to build the church in Nauvoo and Utah. Today, we build Zion wherever we live. Matthew P., age 11, England, who played Peter Ashton.
When I acted in the pageant, I felt like it was also my first time to hear about the first vision, and it made me feel happy and warm inside. Leah G., age 10, England, who played Ellie Ashton.
Preston, England. When the apostles first came in 1837, they taught and baptized people in Preston. Today there's a temple in Preston, and the British pageant took place right on the temple grounds. Liverpool, England. Many missionaries arrived at the busy ocean port of Liverpool. Saints heading to Zion usually left from there too. Bishopton, Scotland. Elders Samuel Mulliner and Alexander Wright baptized the first converts in Scotland in 1839. Herefordshire, England. While Elder Wilford Woodruff was preaching at the Benbow family farm, a constable, like a police officer, came to arrest him. Elder Woodruff invited the constable to stay and listen. After the meeting, the constable asked to be baptized. Manchester, England. In 1840, mission leaders in Manchester started printing the Millennial Star. It was a forerunner of the church magazines we have today, like The Friend. Banbridge, Ireland. In 1840, Thomas Tate, the first convert in Ireland, was baptized in Lochbrickland Lake. London, England. Elder Lorenzo Snow presented a special copy of the Book of Mormon to Queen Victoria in 1842. Llanelli, Wales. One of the first LDS chapels in the United Kingdom was built here in 1849. End of the article, Celebrating Church History, British Style.
Just One Click by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. Camille didn't like the videos, but her friends kept clicking on them. I will only read and watch things that are pleasing to Heavenly Father and myself. My gospel standards.
What do you want to do today?
Camille asked as she ran inside with her friends Jasmine and Darren.
My cousin showed me the funniest video,
Jasmine said.
We should watch it. Awesome,
Camille said as she hurried to tell Mom that her friends were here. I wonder if I should tell Mom we're on the computer, Camille thought. But she was already on her way back to the family room. By the time she got back, Jasmine had already logged on to her favorite online video site. Darren and Camille crowded around the computer, and the girls giggled as they watched a puppy chase after a tennis ball. When the video ended, the screen filled with links for other videos.
Click that one,
Darren said, pointing to a music video.
I love that singer.
As the video played, Camille started to feel uncomfortable. She didn't feel very good about the words or the dancing. She had liked the dog video, but this wasn't the kind of thing she wanted to watch.
Let's watch another one,
Darren said, and Jasmine clicked another link. Camille started to feel sick, but Darren and Jasmine seemed to really like the videos. They were singing along and dancing, so she didn't say anything while Jasmine and Darren watched more and more videos. When her friends went home, Camille wandered back to where Mom was working at her desk.
How are Jasmine and Darren?
Mom asked.
They're good, but...
Camille paused. Mom raised her eyebrows.
But what? Is something wrong?
We started watching videos online. And at first they were okay, but then we started watching videos that I didn't feel good about. I just wanted to go play, but Jasmine and Darren wanted to watch more. I didn't know what to do.
She slumped down in a chair.
I'm sorry that happened. The internet is good for lots of things, but sometimes just one click can take you somewhere you don't want to be. We can also waste a lot of time without realizing it. What can we do to fix this for next time?
Camille thought for a second, then said,
Watching a few videos is fine, but maybe after that I could come up with something else for us to do.
Great. And if a video makes you uncomfortable, it's important to say something. Never be afraid to stand up for yourself.
Okay.
That's how you can do your part. But I can do my part, too. How about we make a new family rule? Whenever your friends want to watch videos online, Dad or I have to log you onto the computer and be in the family room with you. That will help keep you and your friends safe. Can you agree to that?
Camille nodded.
I think I know what to do next time.
A few days later, Jasmine and Darren came over after school again.
Hey, I found more music videos,
Darren said.
We should watch them.
Camille took a deep breath.
I don't really like those videos, but we can watch something else instead. I'll go ask my mom to log us in.
Well, I can just find them,
Jasmine said.
No, Mom needs to. She wants to make sure we watch good things online, and I do too.
She ran off to find Mom. After they'd watched a few videos, they could make smoothies or paint their nails. This way, they could all have fun.
One day when my family was at the store, Mama noticed a bad picture on one of the displays. She told the worker that it needed to be removed, and when we passed by again, it was gone. I'm glad Mama told the worker because I don't want to see bad pictures. I am glad parents protect us from bad things. Michael P., age 11, Utah, USA.
End of the story. Just One Click by Jessica Larson.
P.S. We hope you enjoyed this month's magazine. Please write to tell us what you liked. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or photograph. 1. Fill out the form on page 48. Include it with your submission. 2. Include a school photo or high-quality snapshot. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old to send us a submission. Please send your submission to Friend Magazine, 50 East, North Temple Street, Room 2432,
Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-0024, or email friend@ldschurch.org. The following information and permission must be included. First and last name, age, state, province, country. I agree to the terms of the Friend Submission Agreement, lds.org/friend/parental consent, and grant permission for the Friend to publish my child's submission and photo in print or online. Signature of parent or legal guardian. Email of parent or legal guardian. Through your eyes.
I am glad Heavenly Father sent His Son to create a wonderful place for us to live with so many wonderful things in it. Amy D., age 10, Utah, USA.
In this month's Last Laugh, we see a boy filling up his backpack with water balloons at the outside faucet. His sister stands behind him with an inquisitive look on her face. The boy with a smile says, "What? Mom said to bring lots of water on our hike." Visit friend.lds.org. Play games and watch videos. Read the Friend online. End of the section. P.S.
Dear parents and teachers, a priceless treasure we can give our children is a correct understanding of the worth and purpose of physical bodies. You could use the poster on page 24 to start a conversation with your kids about what they are learning and experiencing with their bodies. In a world saturated with confusing and harmful messages about bodies, clear, open, safe communication is more important than ever. With love, The Friend. Order The Friend at store.lds.org. Family Home Evening Ideas. Make someone smile. Read The Parade Prize, page 4, and talk about how a small act of kindness can brighten someone's day. Then turn to page 6 for a fun craft and recipe to make together. Obedience. On page 2, President Monson shares a message about following the Savior. You can find a family home evening idea that goes along with this topic by visiting lds.org/go/FRPutGodFirst and clicking on Discuss as a Family. Pioneer History. Read the exciting conclusion of Henry's trip to Utah, page 12, and talk about the different ways pioneers traveled. How did your family join the church? Was it a long time ago, or was it recently? Find fun pioneer activities on pages 3, 23, and 35. Baptism. You can learn about this month's primary sharing time theme on page 42. You'll find a short lesson and ideas for talking with your children along with a fun activity. Visit resources for teaching children at lessonhelps.lds.org for stories, activities, and media to use at home and in primary. Find videos and games for kids at friend.lds.org. Topics in this issue. Baptism. Prepare to Serve, Elder Eduardo Gavarret, and We Become Members of the Church Through Baptism and Confirmation. Courage. Following Jesus. Be Brave. Church History. Celebrating Church History, British Style. Faith. My Lesson on Faith. Family. Family Fun Time. Once You Get to Utah, Part 3, Earning a Ride. Health. My Body is a Temple. Holy Ghost. The Dog Project, Special Witness. President Boyd K. Packer, Safety and the Spirit. We become members of the Church through Baptism and Confirmation. Jesus Christ. The Blessings of Obeying by President Thomas S. Monson. The Parade Prize. Following Jesus. Be Brave. We become members of the Church through Baptism and Confirmation. Media. Following Jesus. Be brave. Just one click. Modesty. My body is a temple. Obedience. The Blessings of Obeying by Thomas S. Monson. The Dog Project. Old Testament. Old Testament scripture figures, Ruth and Naomi. Pioneers. The Pioneers Obeyed. Once You Get to Utah, Part 3, Special Witness Sarah Walked and Walked, coloring page. Plan of Salvation. My Body is a Temple. Prayer. The Dog Project. Profanity. Following Jesus. Be Brave. Luke the Leader. Resurrection. My Body is a Temple. Sabbath. The Dog Project. Service. The Parade Prize. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Dentist. Prepared to Serve. Temples. My Body is a Temple. Temple Cards. Word of Wisdom. My Body is a Temple. Work. Once You Get to Utah, Part 3. End of the section, Dear Parents and Teachers. Read by Scott Tippetts.